you know, I've recently lost, you know, my mum, and it kind of, you know, again, she did pass at home, you know, yeah, in her sleep. And it's almost like we put this experience of passing, and that's the ultimate, the gold standard, isn't it? And that's, yes, how we all want to go.
Absolutely.
But anything else feels like it's a bit of a letdown.
Welcome to The Consult Room, the podcast that celebrates pets and people. I'm Dr. Paul Magtalo. I'm a veterinary surgeon with a passion for the rich insights and stories about pets in the modern world that we live. Whether you're a pet owner, a pet professional, or you just love hearing about pets, then this is the space for you.
So today's podcast is on the subject of home pet euthanasia, a subject that is really, really close to my heart. And I've experienced it on both sides, both as a pet owner, but also as a vet. I'm here today with Rob Hazelgrove, who is the founder of Pets at Rest, which is a home pet euthanasia service here in Sheffield. We're actually on location for the first time for this podcast. And we're going to share our collective experiences of pet euthanasia in the home. We're going to talk about the process of how it works, and we're also going to give advice for any owners who are thinking about using this service. Rob, welcome to the consult room.
Thanks for having me.
Or I should say, welcome to your house.
Yes,
the actual consult room has gone on location. So, Rob, tell me a little bit about your career as a vet.
Yeah, so I've been a vet for about 20 years. I initially started work in Liverpool, then quickly moved over to Sheffield for a relationship, and I've been here ever since. And my long-term job in Sheffield has been with the PDSA, so obviously a large veterinary charity, initially as a vet, and then as the manager running the hospital. And then about 5 years ago, I started Pets at Rest alongside running the hospital in Sheffield. And slowly and surely over the last few years, I've had to build up the business and scale back, I suppose, the normal vet work, really.
So what inspired you to set up a home euthanasia service?
So it was semi-accidental, I suppose. Working obviously in the charity hospital, we were quite limited how much we could help friends and family due to charity rules. And so I initially started it off partly just to help a lot of friends and family and acquaintances with this difficult time. But I happened to just land upon this at a stage where things were changing quite dramatically in the market as well, and a bigger demand for a home service. And obviously it's extremely important to be able to say goodbye at home. A lot of my colleagues, including myself, would want that for our own pets. And so it was really important to try and deliver that service for people who needed it. And unfortunately, a lot of vet practices became less and less able to provide that service as well. And so all of a sudden, the demand has grown quite dramatically.
We'll talk about the veterinary sector in a second, but I think my experience of setting up, you know, obviously I've got Home Goodbye, the service in London, so at different ends kind of the country. But my experience really came about when I lost my own dog, Dolly. And as a pet owner, I was adamant that, you know, I wanted that done in the home. And it was really strange. And I really questioned myself and thought, but hang on a minute, you know, we do euthanasias in the hospital, like, you know, every day. But actually then I thought, well, actually for my own pet, I'd rather, you know, it was done at home. And I think the kind of the experiences in the pandemic really cemented it for me, where obviously you experienced this as well, where people could not be with their pets, you know, they had to kind of stay in the car park and you had to take animals. And I just thought, actually, there's more we can do here, isn't there? There's more that we can definitely, you know, the experience for euthanasia just made me look at it on the whole and think, yeah, that, you know, it needs
absolutely
to be better.
Absolutely. And a lot of my colleagues, same thing, as well as myself, you know, we were all arranging to put our pets to sleep at home, and yet we weren't offering the same level of service for all our clients, unfortunately, yeah.
So talk me through home euthanasia in the house. Like, what does the process look like from your perspective as a vet?
Okay, so obviously once the client makes contact, we might have a bit of a consult on the phone effectively, just to make sure we're all on board, that the decision feels about right. And then when I come, I take my time just so everyone has a bit of time to chat to me, make sure we're all still on board. Sometimes it might be a bit of an examination of the pet if we're still a bit uncertain. And it just gives everyone time just to settle down, because obviously everyone's quite stressed and upset, and it gives time for that pet to kind of get used to me being in the house as well. And then I talk through the whole process and procedure, really, which basically is as follows, really, I suppose. We tend to give their pet a little sedative injection first, usually just under the skin at the back of the neck. So most pets don't tend to mind that too much at all. And then over about 10 minutes or so, they'll slowly drift off to a really deep sedative sleep. And I tend to get out of the way just to give everyone some space and some time on their own to say their goodbyes. And then I pop my head around 10 minutes later just to make sure they're fast asleep. And then when everyone's ready, that's when we give the last injection, the overdose of the anaesthetic, generally into one of the leg veins. And that's normally very quick. And these pets tend to pass very, very peacefully. And then obviously people have the time to say their goodbyes with me out of the way again. And then once everyone's ready, I then take them on to a crematorium, usually unless they particularly want to arrange their own burial or cremation themselves.
I'm really pleased that you gave that that kind of account of the process, because it's exactly the same as how I do it, which is good. I think for me, the way I describe it is that, you know, we've designed the process so that your pet passes in their sleep, basically, yeah. in the comfort and comfortable surroundings of their own home. And it's kind of almost like, you know, I've recently lost, my mum, and it kind of, you know, again, she did pass at home, you know, yeah. in her sleep. And it's almost like we put this experience of passing, and that's the ultimate, the gold standard, isn't it? And that's yes. how we all want to go.
Absolutely.
But anything else feels like it's a bit of a letdown, isn't yeah. it?
Oh, absolutely. You know? Same with my lost a parent as well, and he was desperate to be at home. I wanted to be at home and wasn't able to in the end. Yeah. And it was always a disappointment, you know, for him and the family that he couldn't pass as he wanted to, really. But no, absolutely. I think it is really important. Everyone is much more relaxed at home. There's far less stress, and things can just be taken more slowly and steadily.
Yeah. So let's just go back to that, because the norm, I guess, or the most frequent experience for humans is to be in hospital, isn't it? And we kind of know that that's not an ideal place, don't
nope.
we? We know that it's quite stressful. We know that people have high levels of anxiety, and it's busy and crowded, and you can't rest. But it's interesting, isn't it? Like in veterinary, that we've kind of adopted the same model for our pets, and the norm is to go to a veterinary practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in your opinion, why is a home passing or a home euthanasia for a pet better than going into a veterinary practice?
Okay, so I think it's better for both pet and human. Obviously, we always concentrate on the pet, and rightfully so. And I've seen many, many pets just terrified of going to the vets, even if nothing bad has really happened to them in the vets before. I think, you know, a lot of cats hate going to a basket, they hate going into the car, and then obviously you've got that waiting room, which is very stressful. And so a lot of the pets, it just really minimizes a lot of that stress and upset. But on a client side, I'm sure I'd have hated to be sitting in that waiting room, knowing what's coming, trying to put a brave face on things in front of the public when in an impossible situation, really. And so I think it's probably equally important for the families and the humans as much as the pet as well. And then obviously you've got all the other logistics of collapsed animals who might not be able to get into the vets very easily, and lots of other reasons as well.
I think there's the other bit there, like you mentioned the pet and the client, but there's also the vet, isn't there? There's also us, you know.
Absolutely.
I personally, when, you know, a lot of clients say to me in this line of work that, I don't know how you can do this. I'm sure you get that.
Every time.
What do you respond to that? Because I've got a really easy response for me.
So I often just say, actually, I get a lot of reward from each visit I do, because I know I'm helping and I'm giving that pet a really happy, peaceful farewell without any stress or worry. And I know I'm giving that client a lot of help and support, both during the visit and afterwards. So although it's a horrible thing for the client, I think for me professionally, it's a good thing to be doing.
From my perspective, I say to the clients that I would have to be doing this anyway, but true. I would be doing it in a practice situation, in a hospital situation, where, you know, you'd potentially be quite stressed, the pet would be quite stressed.
Yeah.
I'd probably be doing it in a 15 to 30 minute consultation, whereas when I come to somebody's house, the animals are clearly, for me, a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
And I don't have to rush and take my time. And like you say, you can give people that kind of time and that personal space to grieve, can't you? So let's go back to the issues in the sector, because if we firmly believe, and we've got two vets sat here on the sofa, if we believe that this process of home euthanasia is a nice service, but we can't do it within our normal operating model of yep. work. Why, I mean, there's obviously some specifics in the sector just now, but why do vet practices not really offer this at the moment?
I think it is a time problem primarily. I think vets are under more and more pressure to try and see the growing pet population that's boomed since COVID. And we may touch upon it, but obviously there are fewer vets around as well. And so there is just time pressures. But even before then, you might allow half an hour for a euthanasia, which is a good chunk of time in that veterinary diary, but it still feels quite rushed when you're doing that procedure in the clinic, really. And so often they are gonna then struggle to get a vet out themselves to go out to people's homes to give 2 hours worth of travel time and the euthanasia and to get back into the clinic, really. So yeah, I think it's just a time problem, really.
Yeah, I agree. And some of the appointments I've taken in London, I mean, obviously London's probably a different beast in terms of travel, but you know, sometimes they take an hour, you know, to get across London to get there. So I can imagine practices just don't have the resources or the time to do it. And I think growing up, it was something that, you know, my mum really believed in terms of when our family dogs was time to go, we'd always call the vet out. Yeah. And, you know, and it just seemed to be a much more normal thing. But I think, you know, throughout my career of veterinary, I've just seen it become, you know, less and less possible in a normal, you know, working environment to be able to spare a vet to go off for 2 hours and do them. I did when I worked as a locum in a practice in Belgravia, in central London. We did used to do them there actually as an emergency service, and we used to go round. But again, it was all relatively quite local, but it did have an impact on the working day. But it is tough, isn't it, for vets these days to try and do it?
It is, I agree. I think even myself, when I first started, we did do some home visits, but often you had a 2 or 3 hour lull in the afternoon where you had some time available where you might be able to offer that service a bit more. But you're absolutely right. I think those lulls don't seem to be there anymore, and it is just a constant busy time. So there's less and less ability to offer it.
This episode is sponsored by Superdog from Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company. As a vet, I would always encourage a healthy, balanced diet for your dog. But like us, all dogs are different. So giving a vitamin supplement can act as an insurance policy to make sure you're meeting your dog's nutritional needs. Superdog's chewable, tasty braised beef tablets are packed with over 21 nutrients, expertly formulated for your special companion, including linseed oil to help maintain a glossy coat, greenlip muscle to maintain joint health, and zinc and selenium to provide immune support. In a recent study, Superdog was recommended by 96% of dog owners. Dogs absolutely love them. I've personally seen improvements in many, many dogs whose owners have given Superdog vitamins for just a few weeks. Superdog is available now at Amazon, Ocado, Paws, Superdrug, and Vitabiotics.com.
So we've touched on the time it takes. Now, obviously, you know, when we go out and do these home visits, it's upwards of 2 to 3 hours. So, you know, these are quite bespoke services that we're offering, and they're not affordable for everybody. So for anybody listening that is thinking, well, I want to have the experience as stress-free as possible, but I can't afford, you know, a home euthanasia, what advice would you give them about preparation, for example, for going into the practice? Is there anything they can do to minimise the stress?
So I think obviously being upfront when you're making that appointment with the practice, as many practices do try and make appointments maybe at the start of the day or the end of the day to try and make the wait at the vets as short as possible. And maybe they might even be able to provide a bit more space or room so people can spend some time with their pets before or afterwards, because practice do want to try their best to try and accommodate these as much as possible. And otherwise, if we are trying to look at visits, maybe even trying to avoid some of the cremation costs by, you know, thinking about burials or other options and just kind of concentrating the cost on the visit itself may may help a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because there is a whole load of options, isn't there, afterwards that that can increase the costs of things. I've seen a really nice thing that happens in my hospitals, actually, is where the receptionist will light a candle on the, or, you know, not a real candle, but, you know, a candle, which is, and there's a little sign that's put up to say, you know, somebody's having the pet euthanized, can you all respect that and be quiet, which I think is a really nice touch. And also, if practices have got the space, they can create bespoke kind of euthanasia rooms, which are slightly different, aren't they, to the rest of the practice. They're not as clinical. They've got little sofas in there. They're done out almost a bit like this, you know, absolutely, like a little home environment. And people can sit in there and take their time. But again, it's down to resources and space, isn't it? Not all practices have got the ability to do that.
Yeah.
So going back to, you referenced there that, you know, from your experience, it's better for, you know, the pets and it's better for the clients to be at home. Have you got any specific examples or stories of where it, you know, doing a home euthanasia has absolutely been the right thing for the pet? But you must have some examples of that. Oh,
gosh, almost on a daily basis. I think just yesterday alone, I saw a lovely couple who had this cat. It's been very, very sick for quite some time. And I think they ticked all the boxes why they needed a home euthanasia visit. So they didn't have transport. The vets they usually go to just didn't provide that home euthanasia visit. The cat used to get terrified going in the basket. It used to end up in the vets having messed itself or being sick whenever it did go into the vets. And just extremely timid and frightened cats. So we didn't like to see strangers, certainly didn't like to go to the vets. And so really they were desperate to get someone to come out to the home. And even when I came, we talked it through before I even came into the house. So when I was going to come in, they were going to have the cat all cuddled up with the back to me. So I could literally walk in and give the cat the little sedative without even seeing me and then disappear out the house. So that poor little cat didn't need to even see another human being. It was in its home environment and passed really peacefully. And so it was just a much nicer experience for that cat than having to obviously go into a clinic.
Yeah, and I've got a recent example as well of a greyhound, a rescue greyhound, a lovely old dog, but absolutely terrified of going in the car, first of all, and then also going to the vets. And the owner kind of explained to me that they could, you know, get her to the vets and had done. But it, you know, the state of the dog when they got there, panting and salivating, and she'd be completely frantic, and that would in turn make the owner really stressed as well and anxious. Just couldn't absolutely, you know, face that journey as the last journey. And they kind of put up with it over the last kind of 5 or 6 years when the dog needed a vaccination because they felt that was, you know, that was necessary. But again, the dog just was laid in the front room on its rug and was barely aware of the sedative that I gave and just, you know, as you say, drifted off. And it's just, you know, hearing stories like that, isn't it? And just thinking, gosh, that was just so much a more pleasant experience. You must have some more examples.
Other ones would probably be, like I saw a 60, 70 kilo large breed dog this week as well, which was having breathing difficulties. It was an older couple who owned the pet who had disabilities themselves. And so in that sense, it was just logistics of getting that pet up and into some car or transport to get the pet into the vets. And also this dog was struggling to breathe. And I think also a lot of the handling and moving could have made that dog's condition worse. And potentially that dog could have even passed away, not in the nicest ways, while trying to get them to the vets as well. So sometimes just reducing the stress and the handling can, again, mean less risk to that cat or dog as they're traveling.
I've had a couple of examples actually of pets that get so stressed they become quite aggressive.
Yeah.
I've had a dog that was like a working farm dog that was showing, it was very old at this point, and had a tumour that they'd decided that that was untreatable. But that dog was so stressed about going to the vets and being handled by other people that used to become quite aggressive, used to have to be heavily sedated and all that sort of stuff. And similarly, I had a cat again that was, again, an indoor house cat, was obviously very clearly bonded with its owner, but not with anybody else. And again, any handling or stress and, like you say, getting in the basket just didn't managed it, but on both those occasions, we managed to give the sedative orally. And again, we didn't even require any handling at all, just a bit of the, you know, favourite food or gravy, and did the sedative in there, and the pet managed to go to sleep. I'm not sure it can always be done orally, but it did seem to work for those, because they have to obviously eat the food. But it just felt like it was a much nicer experience.
And you're absolutely right. I've seen, obviously, in general practice as a vet in a clinic, some of these dogs, when they're very, very stressed, we struggle to get them to sleep with a sedative because the adrenaline is so high, it actually fights that sedative. And yet in the home environment, these same stressed animals, in theory, would go to sleep much quicker and much more effectively with the same or less sedative, just because they are that much calmer. So it does make a big difference, yeah.
You mentioned there a couple of the client circumstances that meant that a home visit was better. Have you got any other examples of where you feel that this kind of service is has really helped a client, for example?
I would probably say I'm much more flexible and available with appointment times, because I think a lot of vet clinics can only fit visits in, or could only even fit appointments in at certain points and times in the day. And it's really important, obviously, these are family animals and the family want to be there. And so I can normally be much more flexible and available at time that suits owners. There are many people who are working and need to have a late appointment or first thing in the morning appointment. And so that can certainly be much more helpful and available. And even at weekends, again, vets don't tend to be fully staffed, and so again can't provide the same level of service as we would be able to as a home euthanasia vet as well. So I think certainly even just the simple flexibility and availability of appointments is really important.
So I obviously have clients that contact Home Goodbye who choose it as a preference, a home visit, because it's more convenient in terms of appointment times, and we only really work evenings and weekends anyway. I do see a lot of clients that just wouldn't have the ability to get into a practice. They either have mobility problems, or I went to the house of a lady who was severely agoraphobic the other day, and her cat was her absolute, you know, companion, but she didn't really see anybody else. Like, she didn't really go out, and the prospect of her having to take a cat to the vets was just so terrifying for her. And she was, so grateful to be able to get that service. Going back to the service itself, obviously it's not affordable for everybody. Now, you mentioned there are ways of reducing costs. But can you see, obviously, you know, we've both got a background in the charity sector. Do you feel that a service like this should become available for people on a much more affordable basis? I'm not quite sure how that would work, but do you not think it should potentially be funded or subsidised?
In an ideal world, absolutely. I mean, if anyone could pick how you'd choose your pet to pass, this does certainly seem like the much, much better way all round. But as we've mentioned, it is quite a time-consuming thing to do. And it's tricky, because only vets can provide this service. And even in the clinics, we're struggling to man the clinics for vet practices with actual vets. And so to try and even find enough vets who would be able to come out and provide this service for absolutely everyone at an affordable price could be tricky. But it does certainly feel, you know, we do so much for them all their lives. You know, you do want to give them a nice, comfortable send-off with minimal stress, really.
And from a personal perspective, obviously, there is a lot of reports in the veterinary profession at the moment about things like, you know, compassion fatigue and, burnout and stress. Does this affect you personally? Because these situations can be quite emotional, can't they? When you're, you know, trying to support people through what can only be described as intense grief. Does this have an impact on you personally doing this kind of day after day?
I think it's a really good question, because I know with many colleagues who probably couldn't do what we do, seeing multiple people in a very difficult, challenging situation. I think personally, I cope okay. I know I'm doing a good thing, as we've mentioned previously, and I'm there to help support clients through the whole process. But I've worked with quite a few colleagues who do struggle with euthanasias, and to support that client as well as they can do on a busy day. But yeah, for me, I know I'm being there, providing a good service and helping both pet and person.
So from my personal perspective, I guess I I guess I do have to limit the amount of these kind of bookings that I take, just because they are, you know, quite intense. But what really helps me is my personal experience of being on the other side, of being an owner, and knowing what it was like when, you know, I lost Dolly, of how that felt, knowing that she was literally at home. And she was never allowed on the sofa, but I let her on the sofa that day. And she was just the happy, I mean, she was literally was half asleep, you know, before the sedative, you know, even started taking effect. So it was just the most lovely experience from her perspective. And that's what I think for me helps me, you know, in that is flipping around and saying, actually, if I was this person, you know, and this was my home, this is exactly what I'd want to be doing right now in this situation. So it does help.
You're absolutely right. I think even losing my pet, I think as horrible as an experience it was, I think professionally it was really helpful just to know, one, how hard this hits you afterwards, and yeah, how important it is for them to be relaxed and as comfortable as possible when they pass. And it certainly has given me even more insight on how I can best support our clients.
So if anybody was thinking of a home euthanasia for their pet when the time comes, have you got any advice on what they might want to do to prepare?
So I think it's really important to prepare in advance. So I often tell clients it's good that they are getting in touch with me or crematoriums in advance, because when the time comes, it's extremely stressful and sometimes it's hard to know what's happening and what to do. So it's always good to try and plan in advance, if possible, to try and book appointments in advance, because sometimes if you leave things too late, it's hard to get an appointment, or you're not able to say goodbye as you want, and sometimes having to rush them into an emergency service. And then when it comes to the home environment, a lot of people ask me if their pets should be present as well. And it's always hard to know what they get from this experience, but I think they certainly do know when their other pets in the household are unwell or unhappy. And so I suspect they do probably get an idea or sense of the pets passing. So again, it's nice to consider allowing the pet around if they're able to. But if they have got a dog in particular that's particularly barky or unsettled, then maybe consider planning again whether that dog should be in a different part of the house, or even for someone else to take that dog out for a walk while we're there.
Yeah, I've had some super friendly dogs that want to just get involved in everything, and they're kind of jumping all over you, and it's not really appropriate, is it? I totally agree with you about planning in advance, and I think the scenario that I see quite often is that people have decided that they want a home euthanasia, but they're not ready to absolutely set the date. And they kind of put it off and put it off and put it off, and they've inquired, and you know that they know that they want to use a service like that. But then when the time comes, it's usually an emergency and it's the middle of the night and they can't get hold of anybody and they have to rush to the vets, and everything that they didn't want to happen ends up happening. So the advice that I give to people, I think, that ask me about, and we've done podcasts on, you know, when is it time to let them go and all that sort of stuff, and there's loads of advice out there. I often say, if you're thinking about it, it's probably coming up to the right time. And actually, in my experience, people never regret making the decision sooner, but they often regret leaving it too long for whatever reason. Either they end up in an emergency situation, or they end up seeing the pet, you know, deteriorate to a point where the quality of life, and those are the last memories you have, aren't they? And
absolutely,
you don't want them.
Absolutely. So the old adage of better a day too early than a day too late. And like you say, most people, if they can do this in advance, it is on their terms and everyone gets to say goodbye as they want. But it is so common that you do get those emergency calls where people have put it off because they're struggling a little bit, and then, like you say, passing isn't always as they'd want it to be.
So we talked about the process of the home euthanasia, and that it you know it enables us to spend more time with the client. Why is that a good thing? Why is that extra time important?
Gosh, because I mean, these are our family members. You know, it's a big loss, and you need to be able to have the time to say your goodbyes as you want, really. And we're all very different, and some people don't need as much time, and others need quite a lot of time just to say their goodbyes. I mean, these pets are here to see us through all sorts of good times and bad times. And so, yes, it's really is something you don't want to rush, both to make sure the pets are happy and comfortable and relaxed through the whole procedure, and also to make sure our clients are as comfortable as they can be and as relaxed as they can be through the whole process.
Rob, it was fantastic to speak to you today. If anybody's got an inquiry for your service, where do they go to?
So, they can have a look at our website, www.petsatrestvet.com, or even pick up the phone and give us a call. But the details will all be on that website.
Lovely, fabulous. And of course, that's in Sheffield. But if you're in that's London, right. Then go to homegoodbye.co.uk. Lovely. All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
Thanks Cheers. So much. Bye.
You've been listening to The Consult Room. I really hope you've enjoyed today's show. Please do subscribe, follow, or share this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. If you want to get in touch or collaborate, then do reach out to us at theconsultroom.co.uk or connect with me on social media as Dr. Paul the Vet or Dr. Paul Magtalo.